Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the season is over. Perhaps the window has closed, and maybe the core will be gone. The Cubs go out meekly to the lowly Miami Marlins, 2-0. Both games at Wrigley Field, one run scored the entire series, and they got good pitching in both games from Kyle Hendricks and Yu Darvish.
But do you give a bleep?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Right. I those,
to make sure. I don't give a
those. Those Chris Bryant shirts that they were printing out that said, Chris Bryant, I don't give a bleep, are now on clearance.
Okay.
After he went 0-for-8 and Anthony Rizzo went 0-for-8 in the series, and they combined for 0-for-16. And Waddle, we say it often in hockey, and it cannot be understated in baseball, that your stars have to play like stars.
No doubt.
And since the 2016 postseason, the Cubs stars of the Brizzo Corporation, Javi Baez, are hitting .134 now in the postseason, and they may have played their last postseason all together on the same team.
Listen, this is no surprise, right? I mean, like, I think we predicted this with a couple of weeks, and this is not an I told you so, but it's just like, you saw this. Like, nobody should be surprised, right?
This is right. For the people who had but Sylvie, they're in first place.
Yeah.
You know, like, for the people who had their heads in the sand, this is a surprise. Now, even still, Waddle, like, I would get rejuvenated. Even after, I'm like, stupid me on my recliner, as I pointed out in the pre-show fist fight. Like, whether it was after that bad first game, I get rejuvenated after a day off yesterday, the rain out. And I'm like, okay, today. Today's the day, and okay, we've worked some counts against Sisto now, you know? And then after every inning, all right, you shut him down here in the fourth. Now's the time to get to work. Okay, the bases are loaded here in the fifth. Now this is going to be the inning. And look, when I think deeply with my head, this has been a problem for the Chicago Cubs, not in 2020, no, not in 2019. This has been a 3-year problem for the Cubs for a long, long time that they pinned and they scapegoated on a lot of different people. And the last people that they turned their eyes onto was the core. And now this could be the offseason where they finally do it. But your point is taken. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it was still the Marlins, and they were still at home, and they were still good names on the back of the uniform, and it was still a close game. So I still had hope that they ultimately would deliver, and there they are.
I don't
two and done.
You. Yeah, I mean, listen, we were standing together when they won the World Series in 2016, and the run 15, 16, 17 was fantastic. But that's 3 years removed at minimum. And, you know, what you've seen recently is what you saw the last couple of days. In two games against the Miami Marlins, they had 9 total hits and 1 run. Now, I know everyone had fun at my expense as a Reds fan, but how you like me now? I mean,
right,
like, we're in the same boat. I mean, like, if you can't hit.
Wait a minute now, Waddle. Look, you're a new passenger in the boat. We've been in the boat getting seasick since 2017.
Well, yeah, because I haven't even been at sea. My dinghy's been docked, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
The last game against the Dodgers, I brought this up on Wednesday. The last game against the Dodgers in the 2017 NLCS, the Cubs got beat 11-1. So they scored one run in that final game of the 2017 postseason to get eliminated. Game 163, playing for the division against the Brewers, the Cubs scored one run. Wild card game, winner go home against the Colorado Rockies. Much like this year, those two games were both at home. Brewers, Rockies, one run against the Rockies. Game one, this series, one lousy run against the Marlins. And do you want to outdo yourself? Hey, outdo yourself, Chicago Cubs, with all those great names on the back of the jersey And why don't you come out for your last performance? Why don't you come out and show us how you get shut out? Like, four straight of one-run baseball wasn't good enough for the Chicago Cubs. They had to stick it to their fans and show you that they could still one-up that and that they could come out here today and they can get shut out.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, I'm sure it sucks. I mean, although you could see it coming, it still sucks when the reality becomes, you know, present in front of you. So I get it. Now the question is what's next? You know, we asked the question from the very beginning of this you know, bite-sized season. How damn good are they? Now the question becomes, what will this team look like in terms of their roster going forward? Because you can't go back to the gate for a number of reasons. Financially, guys are going to, you know, we're going to want contracts. I don't know who you're going to come back to training camp with, you know, next year. But my guess is finally this team will look significantly different.
Like, are you going to give big extensions to guys who haven't come through? Guys who have been struggling for a long time in the middle of this COVID when they're crying poor? Or are you going to trade them and really get returns in the last year of their contracts that aren't good enough for you in the big picture? It is a lose-lose here, Waddle, yeah. Because, like, do you want to go and give Javi, who you were close to extending? Like, a lot of people love Javi, but Javi was awful all year, and then he was awful in the postseason. Like, do you want to give Chris Bryant money, or do you want to go out and trade Chris Bryant with his lowest value on the open market ever? Do you know what? Where do you
stock's
win
low.
There?
Stock's low.
Stock's low.
I mean,
so what
I'm
do you
not
do
gonna...
when the stock's low? Do you you don't pay him and you don't trade him?
Well,
what do you do then?
Listen, again, there's a lot of time between now and decisions need to be made. But my money would be on you if you don't get something that is very enticing in terms of a deal. Then you play the 2021 season with Chris Bryant.
And you're going to the gate with as is again, like
yeah.
the same team.
Well, with him,
that continued to score one run. You know,
I'm saying with him, I still think Chris Bryant's your best hitter. Like, I get it. Your frustration is boiling over now, and listen, he's missed 100 games in the last three seasons, and you and I haven't done a show since everything kind of, you know, the whole I don't give a blank and the manufactured, I think, argument or drama that was created by asking Chris Bryant and others about Twitter criticism.
Right.
Like, if you're alive, you're getting criticized on Twitter. You don't have to be an accomplished big league baseball player. You know, anyone that is on Twitter is going to be criticized. I thought that was one of the silliest, contrived
dumb.
Arguments and controversies of all time. But, you know, I still believe he's your best hitter. I don't think he's going to get a $300 million contract. Listen, these are...
I wouldn't give him two right now. Why?
Well,
I would not invest $200 million in Chris Bryant.
Well, that's all good. And people can be mad that fans and radio hosts ask questions about, hey, can he stay healthy long enough? You know, why has the production gone down? He's a fantastic player, but why hasn't he been elite the way he was in 15, 16, 17, good in 19, but not the way he was earlier? These are all legitimate questions. And I would just say, if he or anybody else has problems with people like us asking those questions, ask the people running the team why they haven't been able to come to terms with an extension.
Yep. Let's ring up the phone lines at 332-3776. This is your post-game show here as we carried both of these games. I mean, we've got all offseason to talk about moves. And if you want to talk about that, be our guest too. But how do you explain that this team gets the bases loaded and they don't score? That the inning before that, they have a couple of runners on and they don't score. Hayward comes through a couple of times, including the ninth inning, and they don't score. You know, Contreras gets hit by a pitch and he's yelling at the pitcher when the tying run comes to the play. How do you just look at this team and explain that in 18 innings of postseason baseball, they scored one run against the Miami freaking Marlins? That this issue goes back five games. How do you explain this as a Cubs fan? 332-3776. Sox fans, it's been a day two, 24 hours to digest what you went through. And I think, and we could get to this later, you have got to get in a managerial search fast. You've got to do that because another team has already started. John and Bartlett, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, Johnny?
Well, it could be going a lot better, I'll tell you that. Just kind of wanted to touch base. A lot of people are always, you know, they're talking about the core, and obviously the core is completely underperformed. But at what point do you look at, you know, the front office and say, this is on Theo? Theo has made, obviously he got us the World Series in 2016, but he has made bad decision after bad decision. They gave all the money to Kimbrel, so they're tied up with that. Then they're giving the, I mean, if they even think about extending KB or Javi, it'd be the dumbest thing in the world right now because there's so many other issues on this team. I think they combined their whole team was a batting average around the Mendoza line. So, I mean, like, what is going on with this team? I think they totally need to blow it up, start from the beginning. Maybe you extend Rizzo for a couple years. You have some decent pitching. Go after Trevor Bauer or something like that. But this group of hitters just can't get it done. So you have to look elsewhere.
I'm conflicted on that one, Waddle, because I look at Theo and I look at some of the moves he made, and you maybe could fill out a better roster with the guys that he traded, like with Gleyber Torres and Eloy and other guys than who's performing now. Tommy La Stella, let's not forget that. They gave him up for nothing, and I'm not crowning him as this great player. They certainly can use his contact bat now. But then I look at, remember the Yu Darvish talk? Like, how much did we hope 2 years ago that Yu Darvish could turn it around and give you six scoreless in a postseason game, in a winner-go-home game? Yeah. And he did that, and he made one mistake in the seventh, and then again, they scored a nine. But still, 2-7 isn't terrible, and he gave you six shutout innings. Listen, it's the biggest issue right now are the names on the back of the uniforms who aren't producing.
You highlighted it earlier. I mean, this team is not hit in crunch time. When the postseason has gotten here in recent years, they have not hit. Period. End of story.
Brandon in Batavia, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, so definitely just really tough to watch, especially when you combine it with the last couple of years of postseason. I'm just really interested in when we're going into this very odd offseason with everything going on in the world and a shortened baseball season, I think you got to look at the guys that have the biggest trade value. And it may sound weird, but, you know, Yu Darvish might never have a bigger trade value than he does right now in this moment. So if you're going to go with the full rebuild, Yu Darvish is a big trade chip. They've got Miguel Amaya in the minors. Obviously, you don't know what he's going to develop into, but Contreras is a big trade chip. And then you might need to hold on to guys like Brian and Baez, you know, and see where you're at mid-year next year. They might have big trade value in the middle of next season. And we might be heading into a real full rebuild for 2022, and I wouldn't be opposed to it at this point.
Bro, Brandon, that's the big picture. Like, you can't halfway it. Like, I get it if you want to trade Contreras and so then do something different at catcher, then build through pitching and keep some other guys. But if you're going to start trading your best pitcher, you know, and I understand what you're saying, his value is at its height. But then what are you doing keeping everybody else if you don't have any pitching depth?
Not only that, he's at a pretty, for an ace, he's got a reasonable contract, doesn't he?
Right, yes.
I mean,
yes.
So, yeah.
It was 126 total.
Yeah, listen, this is the day where you get the emotion out and you just want to push everything out to sea and you just want to turn and walk away from it. But I don't see that happening. I really don't. I don't see them maybe giving these enormous contract extensions that guys wanted.
Maybe they wait on that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but and what's the, you know, what are you losing there? Like, if no one's willing to give you really good value for one of your players, whether it's Javi or Chris Bryant, why wouldn't you just go to the plate with both of them next year and play it by ear until the trade deadline?
Right, and then if you're good, you stay in it to win it, yeah. And if you're bad, and then you trade them at the deadline. It's going to be a very, very confusing thing, and what makes it more complex is who's going to run the show and how much money is that guy getting. Theo's got 1 year left, but if he's leaving in a year, if he's debating about leaving early, and then what is Ricketts going to give him to play with as far as money? Yeah. Yazin in Palos, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Yazin?
Hey, guys. I don't know why people are so shocked by this team and how – you know, they suddenly, you know, can't get runners on base. You know, this has been going on for, you know, a couple of years now. I really wasn't shocked that they lost this series just because of the way the season's been going. You know, they score 7-8 runs one game, and then they go for a stretch where they score one or two runs in like 7 straight, 8 straight games. What really ticked me off about today was Wilson Contreras. How in the world do you get upset when a pitcher hits you in a playoff game, you're down to an elimination game, why in the world would you get upset when he hits you with a curveball? Why would the pitcher try to put you on base and risk putting a man on base, and then you start hollering and hooting? And a lot of people were saying, oh, he's trying to fire the team up.
Right.
If you're trying to fire
the team up,
put the ball in the seats. Put the ball down the left field or right field line. Get a man on base. Get a runner in scoring position. Take the dang bag. Get something going.
That's
why
how I felt, Yazeen. Yeah,
drove me insane. I was yelling at my TV, dude, take the bag. Stop talking.
Yazeen, thanks. We got to run. We're up against the clock. Waddle, hold your thought. We'll talk about Contreras to start here. The number is 332-3776. The Cubs are done. They were swept out of the postseason on their home field. By the Marlins.
It's 45 degrees out there. Marlins didn't want to be there.
Terrible. We're back in 2 minutes, courtesy of our friends at Legal Rideshare. Team wins. Waddle, the Bears are plus 2.5. Do you like them?
I don't. I would stay away from the Bears, but you know what I would do? And you can do this on my DraftKings Casino Queen Sportsbook app. You can tease that number up to like 8.5 or 9. And then pair them with something, and now you got a little something creative for me.
The point of the story is you need to download the top-rated DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook app. Now use the promo code WMVP again when you sign up. That's WMVP, $1 on any team, and if that team wins, you'll win $100 if you're a new user. Illinois only. Profit boost terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP Chicago. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Well, that's five playoff games in a row that the Cubs have scored either one or zero runs. Five in a row today. They put up the goose egg. They really hit you over the head with the emphatic, we need to be retooled. 2-0, the Marlins beat the Cubs. They had their chances.
You weren't buying that they had their the things going right after winning a couple of meaningless games against the Sox, right?
In baseball, you're always somewhat hopeful, but I always said to you, Waddle, too, I mean, I wasn't burying my head in the sand. I always looked at this team and said, there is no way this team can get through four rounds of a postseason.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can heat up and beat the Marlins. You have pitching where Kyle Hendricks and Yu Darvish can go out there and keep you in baseball games and you can win. You know what I mean? But this team wasn't consistent enough to win series, especially against good teams, and they showed you against a bad team.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not good enough.
Listen, this is not surprising. I mean, it's disappointing, but it's not surprising.
I mean, they've watched on their home court, on their home field, these opposing teams, when they're supposed to be the monsters, they're supposed to be the favorites, come in and steal their cookies. You know, here we are. Come steal our cookies.
Well,
the Brewers did it, the Rockies did it, and the Marlins have done it.
Yeah, don't be stealing my cookies. You've said this a bunch in the past. You know, they felt the need for a new manager. And I don't think David Ross did a bad job this year.
I thought for his first year in a
difficult situation, I think David Ross did a nice job this year.
You think I'm blaming David Ross for this?
No way.
Not saying that. I'm just
I think that's been one of your cries over the last year plus. It's like, at what point are we going to finally just point the finger at all of these guys that we all thought were going to be not just great in the moment, but for an extended period of time, and they just have not, collectively, they have not delivered.
Got to get John Mailey out of here. Oh, my God, Chili Davis, he's the most evil guy in the world. We have to fire him after 1 year.
oh my God, Joe Maddon, you know, these circus animals and balloons and stuff like that, that he wants to sort of distract the team and the road trips with dressing up. Like, that's the worst thing in the world. And this guy sucks. And even though he led us to a World Series, we can't wait to non-tender him and just let him walk away. It was none of their faults. It was none of their faults.
Yeah, it's wild too, isn't it? Because the tenor of the fan base on the South side after their team in a disappointing fashion got knocked out of the postseason is so different than the tenor of the fan base on the North side for obvious reasons.
Right, but they do need a new manager.
Of
like,
course, yeah.
That's different than the Joe Maddon thing, and I saw it was flashing all afternoon on the screen really quick, and that was that Detroit Tigers are looking at A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora. You have a rare year where you have two recent managers who are like manager of the year guys, who are guys who led their teams to World Series, who are out there and can be had. And your manager, you can't trust in big postseason moments. So Detroit's already starting the process. Jerry Reinsdorf and Rick Hahn cannot delay. They cannot be nice guys here. They have to go out and they have to go get a better manager equipped to lead the White Sox and that really good team further in the postseason.
Yeah.
So whether you want to talk about the Cubs going out meekly, getting spanked by the Marlins on their home field, 2-0, 312-332-3776. Really quick, what did you think of Contreras barking in the eighth inning?
I thought it was silly. There's a lot of bark and very little bite for the most part. And I don't know how you're not going to be able to crank up your team. Your team that had at that point 9 total hits and 1 run scored in, what was it, 17 innings? Like, you get your swagger on when things are going significantly better than that. Like, I didn't think that was a way to energize or get your team going.
You clap your hands and you get down to first base and say, thank goodness a tie runs at the plate.
Yeah, and if you get to second next time, read the at-bats that's going on and see if you can get to home quicker next time.
That's another good point. We got to bring that up. Was it on the third base coach or Contreras early in the game? 3-1-2.
I just thought that was a feel. Like, he felt that wrong. Like, he didn't think that ball maybe was going to get to the outfield.
But
that
remember, the bat broke. Point. Remember the...
Right.
Hayward's bat... It was Hayward, wasn't it?
Yes.
Hayward's bat broke, and he could have been fooled by where the bat went in the ball. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The ball was going to the outfield, but it could have looked like a line drive to the infield because the bat broke. And then isn't it up to the third base coach then to hold him if he got a bad jump off second?
Yeah, I didn't see. I didn't see the replay well enough to know even what the third base coach was doing.
Zach in Wrigleyville, you're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Zach.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Well, we're hanging in there. I'm not thrilled that we have no more baseball in Chicago to watch.
I think you hit everything I felt on, like, the head, Sylvie, which, by the way, I hope you're doing well with everything.
I have an update, too, for you today later, Zach.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, hopefully it's good. I'm with you. I've been saying all season. I remember the start. We were all excited baseball's back, and they had that great run. And then they finally started losing, and I'm like, yep, there it is. Because all season I've been telling all my friends and the family and everyone, this is the worst first-place team I've ever seen. I got to give props to Darvish and especially Hayward for having great bounce back seasons compared to what they had. It's just, you guys saw the stat probably during the game. Baez, Bryant, Rizzo, 136 in the postseason since 2016. I'm at the point, I'm kind of on the, you just got to blow it up as much as it sucks. But I think Waddle's point is also valid. We can't really get anything for these guys. They literally screwed us because now we can't trade them. So, yeah, it's just, I'm like mad, but I'm also not because we knew this was going to happen, but it still doesn't make it any worse.
But I would say this to you, whether it's Bryant or it's Baez, you're not getting crushed by contracts with them because they're arbitrary, right? Aren't they? I mean,
Bryant will probably make over $20 million this year.
Okay, but it doesn't mean like you're tied into a $280 million contract.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, and you'd probably be happy paying him. And look, this is what all the conjecture was over keeping him down for 12 games, was to save him for one extra year under control. This is the year of control that you saved him for. That's the most ironic part of this whole thing, is like you couldn't wait to keep him down, and it was the right move so you would get one extra year of control, and now you just can't wait to say goodbye to him. It's really unbelievable.
I don't know that that's the case, though. Like, I don't think that they're looking to run from him. I just don't think they're going to be willing to spend. Maybe they will. Maybe they said, we can only pay one, and we're not going to overpay either one, but we're going to pay Javi. Or maybe they pay Chris Bryant, but they're certainly not going to give him a contract that looks like what Bryce Harper. If you want to look at a comp that, you know, where, you know, Nolan Arenado, or who's the Rendon, or
would you really want to give Chris Bryant those deals, though?
What I'm saying to you is comparable age players with comparable stats prior to this year.
But Rendon had his best season going into his contract year.
He did.
Arenado was hitting the ball great. Chris Bryant now hasn't been his Chris Bryant for a couple years now. And I know everyone's a 31 home run Sylvie in 2019.
But my point
is, he still
wasn't
himself.
You know, that, like, even for those guys, those contracts were what, like 240, 250, 260? Anyone thinking that they're going to give him $300 million more or more, I mean, you're crazy. At that point, that's never going to happen. And you're right. They may just decide, you know what?
We'll ride it out until the deadline.
Yeah.
And then if he wows us, maybe we'll bid for him on free agency. But it's that's why this whole thing sucks. It's a trick box. Like, you're going out meekly to the Marlins, and there are no clear-cut real solutions out there with the way the contracts are structured and how they've played.
Yeah, I mean, you got a bunch of guys, too, that are kind of the same. Like, when Contreras and Baez and Schwarber all get hot, they get really hot. But they're not consistent.
Well, the whole lineup is the same. Then that's what they have to make. They have no difference. Like, they have no contact guys. They're all swing and miss guys. And it's walk, swing and miss, or home run. And the problem is the home runs dip significantly this year. Yeah. And when that happens, now the strikeouts really get accentuated. Mike in Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick couple of comments and then just a question for you guys just to get your perspective on something. But my comments are just kind of, you know, not really. I don't think, while there might be some shock that we lost to the Marlins, at the end of the day, you know, I don't really think it really is that big of a shock, because it feels very similar to last year. The fact that we started off on this really hot start, and then, you know, pitching bullpen was awful, and then the bullpen got better, and then the bats fell asleep. Like, this just all seems like Groundhog Day to me. While I wanted to give the Cubs the benefit of the doubt that we're going to beat the Marlins, sitting back and reflecting on it, it really isn't that big of a shock. And now it just puts us in a weird spot, and what you guys are talking about with the rebuild and everything. But my question for you guys was, so my buddies and I were kind of speaking, had different opinions on Ross, and I really just wanted to get your guys' perspective. And while I understand, you know, he had a good year winning the division, and in a really funky year as a first-year coach, the Cubs are still out of the playoffs, first-round exit, and we kind of start to realize now that the division itself really isn't that good, or wasn't that good this year, because, you know, Cincinnati and the Brewers are already out. So I really just wanted, kind of like on a great scale, of what you guys are giving Ross for this year and kind of what we feel about him in the coming years.
I give him a B. I mean, it's in a COVID year. You had to create your own energy. The Cubs did, for the most part. They were very chirpy on the bench. They did win the division. I don't blame him for them going meekly and scoring one run in the postseason. Did he stay with Hendricks? Maybe a batter too late? Yeah, fine. But if you're not going to score, all of these issues are bigger because your guys can execute. And I think it's on the roster. And again, just like I didn't blame Joe Maddon, I'm not going after David Ross.
Listen, I think he did a good job. I mean, think of it. You're in an uncharted territory, okay? Nobody's ever had to deal with this. They didn't have a single positive test at any point. Like, they had such discipline as a team. And they ended up winning the division, albeit they were the best of a bad lot. It wasn't a great division.
Look, he had a bad bullpen. He was given a bad bullpen. In the middle of the bad bullpen, Craig Kimbrell goes bad. You know, he got him right. And I don't – like, a lot of this is either roster issues or player execution issues.
This team hit 220 this year. There was only two teams that hit worse than them. The Cincinnati Reds were dead last, and the Texas Rangers. Outside, I mean,
the Chicago Cubs with all those hitters.
The Chicago Cubs with all with that $200+ million payroll, with all of those hitters, hit .220 this year. Their on base percentage was .318. I mean, look, what did David? Was David Ross the reason why that they were inept at the plate collectively? I don't think so.
No. Then you're just doing what they did last year. All right, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. I did mention to a caller before we leave today, I want to make this about the Cubs and the Sox and baseball, but I do have a personal update today that I do want to share with the listeners as I've shared the entire journey with you guys through all of this. And it is a Friday. We'll also have our Bears predictions and Mark Jean Greco. It's all coming up. Cubs lose 2-0. Their season is over just about 24 hours after the White Sox were eliminated, and then there were the Bears. That is what we lean on now, guys. The 3-0 Bears, which may not be a bad thing.
Hey, they made a quarterback change while you weren't looking.
I know. I really, and I love it. But we're taking your calls on the Cubs and the White Sox from yesterday. I know a lot of Cubs fans are angry. I've also got this, like, the sadness vibe going through me, Waddle, that I just remember when this team flourished and started to blossom when they were really young. You know, they go into Pittsburgh in a win-or-go-home game in the wild card, and they're like, it doesn't matter with 45,000. We can beat you, even though you guys have playoff experience. And then you come home and you play the Cardinals, and you're beating your rivals, your big brothers, on your home field, and Schwarber's hitting one on the scoreboard, and you're like, these guys aren't going to get bullied. They're not going to get pushed around. And then for the first time in my life in 16, when they had the pressure on them, every time in my life when the pressure was on the Cubs and they were picked, they would wilt. And then in 16, wire to wire, and they lived up to it, and they would never quit, and they found a way to come back in that World Series. And they'd win in Game 7. You're like, I'm so proud of this team. And this team isn't the lovable losers anymore. And then all of a sudden, it like just started to change. And in the same players, for the most part, that you loved, then started to show you like there were cracks there. And like I told you earlier, you let the Brewers in Game 163 come into your house and beat you for the division. And then you let the Rockies come into your house and beat you in the wild card. And you're one and done. And then last year, if you remember, September, mid-September, the Cardinals, who weren't as good as you, come into Wrigley Field for like a five-game series, and they beat you in 4 out of 5. And again, they steal everything right in front of your eyes, and you don't make the postseason.
They took your cookies.
They stole your cookies from the
cookie
jar.
Listen, I get it. There's sadness.
Marlins. And then two games, and you're all in your home field, Waddle. They come into Wrigley Field like this isn't just a COVID thing, that, hey, there are no fans. They were missing energy. The Cardinals did it in front of 40,000 last year. The Rockies did it in front of 40,000 in 18. The Brewers did it in front of 40,000 in 18. Same guys let you down for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know if it's time to cue the sad music, but listen, your lovable Cubs team that you came to admire and praise and whatever, they're done. That group
is gone. They're gone.
That group is gone. It was a great run. You know, like they went to the NLCS, 3 out of 4 years, and they won a World Series?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that group is gone. You're just going to have to let go of them. They will look different going forward. How different? I'm not sure. But that group that touched your baseball spirit and had your baseball nipples hard and had you excited every time they took the field, that group's gone.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Bob in Rosemont, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Bobby.
Good afternoon, fellas. You know, the tendency is to overreact to a game and a series like this, because the fact of the matter is, when you're dealing with the excellence that those two starting pitchers presented, this team would have had problems with those two starters, irrespective of the way they had been coming into the series. And the Cubs, frankly, had not exactly been coming into the series acting, you know, or playing stellar baseball, despite their last series with the White Sox. The fact is, you don't have, and you haven't had since 2016, a leadoff hitter
right.
of the caliber of Dexter Fowler, who could steal a base, who could effectively man the leadoff position. And you've spent the last 3 years trying to compensate for that omission. Secondly, I don't think you have a player on this roster with the baseball instincts that Ben Zobrist had in his prime. And I think if you look back at the postseason in 2016, how many times did Ben Zobrist bunt or come up with a timely hit or do something that was key to starting a rally or keeping an important half inning alive? And you haven't had that now that Zobrist tapered off toward the tail end of his career and now is not with us any longer. The fact is, those are the key problems. And based upon the lack of an instinctual player like Zobrist and a genuine bona fide leadoff hitter, you have all the other players in that lineup reverting back to their tendency to want to create something on their own, and that leads to a desire for extra base hits and home runs. And in a series where you've got excellent pitching, I don't know that the Cubs would have lost in a seven-game series once you would have gotten through the two that defeated them in these two games. But the fact is, in a three-game series, the Cubs were doomed when you looked at the quality of the Marlins starters that they were going to have to confront. And so basically now we're sitting here in the ashes trying to figure out what to do. And this notion about blowing it up and starting from scratch, those days are over. You have the marquee network. You've got an immense amount of debt that this team has to retire. And they're going to have to overpay for these underperforming players, at least underperforming presently. And we're not going to be able to really understand whether these players can go back to what they were in 2016 and 2017 until we have a genuine leadoff hitter that can set the table for them and take the pressure off of them from having to revert back to wanting to hit extra base hits and home runs, which is causing a lot of the problems, particularly in the postseason these last several years.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
And listen, you mention a good name, Dexter Fowler. Dexter Fowler has not been the player with the Cardinals that he was with the Cubs.
No, it was a good decision.
Yeah.
Again, we've always said this. It's not that you wave goodbye. It's who do you replace him with.
That's exactly right.
And like, this is what drives me so crazy. Not only have they not nailed the leadoff hitter position, but you know what's crazy about all these players? Well, what is Chris Bryant? Like, you started the year with Chris Bryant as a leadoff hitter. Like, today, in the winter go-home game, he was hitting fifth. Like, yeah. Do you even know where Chris Bryant hits in the lineup? Where does Javi Baez hit? Is he the number seven hitter? A number six hitter? Is he a two hitter? Is he your cleanup hitter? Like, you don't even know anymore what type of players you have. And it drives me crazy. Matt in Geneva, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hanging in there, to say the least.
We're fans here. Of baseball teams that stink, can't hit.
I'll join the club. So what I have to say is similar to what Bob had to say, just about the general tendencies of the team to swing for the fences all the time. And it's definitely been the theme for the last 5 years, and it worked in 2016 before, you know, the rest of the league knew what they were facing, so we succeeded. But since then, it's pretty obvious the league adjusted. We didn't. So a lot of folks blame the coaching staff, say they're not standing up to the players, just, you know, accepting their poor tendencies, blaming the hitting coach. Doesn't matter. New staff, same results. So I'm just kind of curious what you guys think. Is it just a type of talent we go after in the draft or trade for? Are we looking for power hitters instead of looking for these on-base guys? Kind of curious to your guys' take on that.
I don't think on-base guys are ever bad. You want guys who get on base, but what's really surprising to me, too, when you talk more about the hitting, Waddle, is that Chipper pointed it out. Like, since when did fastballs get Javi Baez out, like, down the middle? When did fastball, like, for a couple of years now with Schwarber, with Chris Bryant, it's they're not just getting beat, like, with high heat. It's heat that's right in the middle of the plate, and they're missing it.
Well, statistically, if you look at the numbers, anything above 95, I think, is what the stat they were showing they were horrible against. But Jesse's given us numbers as well. They suck against off-speed pitching, too. It's like If you could get a fastball anywhere between 91 and 95 grooved right down the middle, they're not bad. They're not bad.
Rafael and Joliet, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rafi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
Sylvie Strong, it's great to hear you again on Fridays.
Thank you, Rafael. I appreciate you.
Yeah, but I just want to tip my cap to you, Sylvie, for staying objective as a Cubs fan, because we all saw this in 2018. I mean, I love Cap, but he was on the it's early bandwagon for a while.
The relaxed thing, just, yeah.
Yeah, it's just sad because, like you said, we all saw this coming. We're not surprised. We're just disappointed. And, like, I read a quote today from Hugh Darvish. I really wish they could have helped that guy out today. He basically said he really wanted to win so he could give John Lester another start at Wrigley. Yeah, and that's like, man.
You're going to make me cry now. My favorite player doesn't get to pitch again.
Yeah, it's you guys have a good one.
Thanks, Rafael.
You too.
You know, for you, Darvish, he deserved better. Like, we didn't know. We were like, oh, my God, Yu Darvish is a head case coming off of Game 7, and he can't pitch, and he's hurt, and what a terrible contract. And here he is looking like a stud in the first six innings and just, again, not scoring for him.
Yeah, listen, you're at home. You're playing a team that probably Jesse gave some sort of stat about the number of at-bats that the Marlins had taken at below 55 degrees or something. Regardless, I mean,
and like they had two players on the whole team or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that right there was set up for you to, like, come on. I mean, you've got to win that game today.
Yeah.
Like, well, I said to you guys, I thought the Marlins probably came into this game going, well, we're probably not going to win this one, but we'll try to get them tomorrow depending on who's going to pitch. But we're probably not going to get to you, Darvish.
The problem is, as a Cubs fan, is as I kept saying, like, again, one may win it. And that's all they needed. They added another for good measure. But 3-3-2-3-7-7-6, Cubs lose 2-0. Mark Giangreco is coming up here in a couple of minutes. He'll join us inside the First Midwest Bank studio.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Cubs lose to head into your weekend. We've got the Bears. Sox out yesterday. Cubs lose 2-0 today. They get swept by the Marlins. And Jesse just tweeted the fact that it had been 7 years since Brandon Kinsler struck out the side in a game before doing it today in the ninth inning. As two guys looked, right? I mean, Javi looked. Bodie looked. Unbelievable. And Mark Giangreco joins us in the First Midwest Bank studio right now as he's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Boys, agony of defeat Friday, man.
Can you pick us up?
Well, you know me. I'm not a pickup guy. I'm a downer. I'm Debbie Downer guy.
He's here to bring you down, not pick you up.
So, let me give you this. Not only do you now immediately jump to the offseason and wonder if it's going to be Bryant, Rizzo, or Baez, probably Bryant's gone. You trade Schwarber. Theo shakes the whole thing up. Oh, woe is me. Sylvie going out of his mind. Or you make it even worse and pile on by saying, do you realize the Cubs have now contributed to the amazing, magical legacy of the Marlins twice in their history? And it's just something about that team that stings the Cub franchise even more. So,
you know, they've never lost a postseason series.
Never. It's crazy. It doesn't matter if you're the Florida Marlins, the Miami Marlins. Doesn't matter who's managing. Doesn't matter who's on the team. Although Don Mattingly has to get a lot of credit for keeping these guys jacked up. You know, the bottom feeder T-shirts were great.
Mark, that team can't beat you. I mean, look at that lineup and then compare it to your lineup. And I get it. Like, I mean, people are going to say, well, the games are played on the field. I know. But when you compare that lineup going against Yu Darvish, and you compare your lineup going against, albeit a very good young pitcher for them, who lost his steam and velocity at the very end.
Yeah, Sixto was dealing.
You could have got him.
You're right, but look at that lineup.
You just can't lose that game.
You've got utility players from other teams starting. They cobbled together a lineup, and you know, and they're sitting out through COVID for a month. It is really an unbelievable story. But on the Cubs side, now we're talking about body language and post-game interviews and everything else. I see all this stuff on social media. Oh, look at Jason Hayward. He's so upset and he's so passionate. And Chris Bryant doesn't seem to care. Now, you can't go there, you know. It's a demeanor thing.
Well, he already
hate Chris Bryant, but again, when you play the Twitter game and you puff out your chest against the White Sox, and then you go 0-for-8 in the postseason when it matters, then it's going to be natural that critics come out.
Yeah, I get that, but
for the performance, at least.
Are you going to say he didn't care?
I mean, never. You know. No. Right. I don't know who
says
that.
You can't go that far.
No, yeah. I would never say that Chris Bryant doesn't care. Okay. You know, I think they're turning the I don't give a blank thing on him they're doing.
That's a knee-jerk fan reaction.
Yeah. Like, what happened here? We talked a little about it, guys, earlier. So it's first and second and nobody out in the fourth inning. And Hayward gets the hit and Contreras is thrown out at the plate. What happened there? I think he get a good jump, but why wasn't he held then?
That I don't know, but I mean, it just looked like he kind of paused because he didn't know whether or not that ball, like you said, off the broken bat from
Hayward to right field.
Yeah, was going to get over the second baseman's head and into the outfield.
Apparently, according to Chipper and Boog, teammates were yelling, go, 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 and he still hesitated and pulled up, and Joyce easily threw him out.
What, Sylvie?
Wallach had a nice tag, you know.
Both of you guys, that's just the play, and again, easy for me to say from my couch, but that's one of those plays that you look back and you just say, boy, somebody that's got really good baseball instincts knows that that ball, you know, is going to get to where it goes and comes home. Like, we can sit here and say, well, it was a tough read. Other guys, more accomplished guys, with a lot of accomplishments, find a way to make sure that that
to score.
You know,
sure,
they
that
know
was,
where it's
that
going.
That was an easy score. You know?
I mean, that should have been a natural reaction, and Wavin Wendell wasn't there to help him out or anything. So, yeah, it's puzzling.
He doesn't seem to channel all of his emotion and anger in a way that's productive.
Well, he's yapping with Garcia when he sticks his elbow out, you know, and wants to draw the base, and they make him go back, and then he gets hit again only because that pitch was a little more inside. He stuck his elbow out again the second time and got away with it. So, and then they're yapping and everything else, you know, bring it to me, let's go. But you know, let's focus a little bit. You know, it's frustration, too. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, bases loaded again, flies out. He gets jammed on a pitch he never even should have looked at. And it's just one thing after another. And look, I think you knew I was going to go here. Everybody praising Rossi, and I'm included, you know, it's the toughest thing in the world for a player to become a manager and then manage his teammates and call them out when he benched Schwarber and everything else. Sits guys, reprimands guys. I mean, you got to give it to him. But, you know, everybody ripped Joe Maddon for, the clubhouse is too loose. We got the zoo animals. We got the magic shows. We got too much stuff. He's too casual. You know, he's not hard enough on these guys. You know, Rossi kind of let it go toward the end of the season. And...
Well,
you know,
Mark,
what was he doing today?
I said, I don't know if you were with us when I said this. At the convention, when people are allowed back, they need to set up, we need to apologize to Joe Booth.
Yes.
And every Cubs fan and front office member needs to walk up to Joe Maddon and say, I'm sorry.
I'm going to go up there and hand out tickets. There. Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Build a booth. I'll set it up.
It was idiotic last year to think that the perfect manager at the perfect time who came in 2015, a year early, before you're supposed to win, took them to the NLCS.
And here's another thing.
And then they won the World Series the next year with all the pressure in the world.
Exactly. Now, as Theo sits down and tries to dismantle this team or figure out where he's going to go from here, you know, toward the end, even after Joe was gone, even after Joe took the Angels job, Theo suddenly couldn't resist taking shots at him. Little tweets and little comments and everything else. While praising Rossi, he always had to stick a little barb in there like, well, we've been missing this for the past few years. And Rossi does this and that's been missing. Or we got rid of this over the past few years. He always had to take a shot at Joe. Even though on camera, in front of everybody, it's a mutual parting of the ways. It's just time, you know. That's what I resent.
But in the end, all those good names on the back of the jerseys could not find ways to score runs, no matter
did
who
we
over, it was under.
Have we overrated him?
We've overrated him. I think the window is closing now, and they have peaked. What I noticed during this entire game, and even game one, with, you know, the focus was Rizzo choking up all the time, you know, after
with two strikes.
And then he goes back down to the barrel of the bat and then chokes up again. And it's like even he's reaching. And the captain is a guy who's always in control and always knows how to handle a situation. And he's just in the dark grasping for ways to just get on base. That's Brizzo, where it's frustrating.
The Brizzo Corporation went 0-16, I believe, in this postseason. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can overrate a group that did it in front of your eyes with the most pressure under any sports team that's ever played. The Cubs, in 108 years of not winning the World Series, with all the jinxes and all the curses and all the pressures, they were down 3-1 and they came through.
No,
do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but when I say overrate them, like, do we overrate them to the point where we thought all of this was sustainable? Like, you know, used to say that Schwarber's going to be the second coming of Babe Ruth, that you know, KB is going to be a perennial MVP candidate every year.
Sure.
Like, I mean, collectively, they've put up some decent individual numbers, but collectively, when they've needed to produce as a team in crunch time, they've disappeared.
They have, but I see no more dynasties in baseball. I see windows are now 2 to 3 years instead of 5 or 6 years for every team in either league. Just the way the game has evolved, just the way, you know, analytics has played such a huge part, you'd think maybe it would sustain itself, but actually it's the opposite. I just see teams coming out of nowhere with young, crazy, unbridled talent. You know, there's going to be a lot of Tatises out there, you know, who are going to overtake the Baezes and the Contreras's. And, you know,
well, if you feel that way, Mark, then you're definitely not reaching deep into your checkbook and paying big money to.
Well, that's the thing. Look what COVID has done. It's all about the checkbook now. And everybody's going to retool. Our lives are going to be completely different, even if we're not wearing masks and everybody's in school and we're in bars and restaurants in 2021. The whole, you know, attitude toward economics and sports and everywhere else is going to change. The huge money is not going to be there.
But well, even if COVID didn't exist, guys, would you feel comfortable paying Javi now?
No.
Well, that's the thing.
I want to go back real quick and say I felt the same way, Mark, until I watched so many guys in the National Football League get paid and paid big.
Yeah, but like, I wanted to keep that just to Major League Baseball, though.
Well, I mean, because the television contracts are so large for the NFL that it makes a difference.
That's where
I was going.
But
you saw Mookie Betts get paid, what he got paid. Now, is that just an anomaly because the Dodgers have the financial capability of doing all that?
Partly.
Somebody's going to write some big checks. I think that the financial landscape will be different. How different, I don't know, but I think that the haves will still go out there and spend money.
Yeah, of course, I'm speaking in relative terms.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about this kind of money, but you're going to see a lot of utility players in and out of rosters, and you're not going to see a guy who's had a lot of success get that last huge contract as a veteran. I don't think you're going to see that anymore.
332-3776. Guys, I also want to share news with you and the listeners. I've let you in on my personal life and what I've been going through, and I've got some news to share with everybody coming up next. It's been a rough 24 hours for our baseball teams. The Sox were eliminated yesterday in Game 3 at Oakland. You guys need a new manager. The Cubs, who knows what they're going to do during the offseason. And they lose today 2-0 at Wrigley Field. We've got the baseball show coming up, and we'll continue to take your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Wanted to share some news. Waddle and Markey, you guys know about it. Black and Abdallah, you guys know too. One of the most nervous times for me ever on the radio, besides me trying out for WSIU radio, was when in late April I disclosed on our show that I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And the outpouring of get well wishes and texts and just texts throughout this entire spring and summer period as I went to get treated for this horrible cancer was so awesome for me, because what was even harder during all this, and people saw me get to ring the bell as I concluded chemo just it was, I think, 4 weeks ago today. And you know how Fridays have been my treatment days. And those get well wishes have meant more, because as I've tried to explain to people during this, during COVID, my wife can't be with me during any doctor's appointments. She can't be with me during infusion times. when I was diagnosed, when I'm getting infusion, when I'm getting treatment, follow-up appointments, that do you know that even still during COVID, my mom and I still have not hugged? She wasn't able to hug her son when he was diagnosed, and she wasn't able to hug me when I concluded my chemo treatment 4 weeks ago today. So the point of me bringing that up to everybody is to understand that when you have great teammates like Tom Waddle and Chris Black and Adam Abdallah and Jeff Meller and Randy Merkin and Mike Thomas, Carmen DeFalco and Yurko and Cap and Zetterman and on at this radio station, and a guy that I've looked up to like a big brother in Mark Jean Greco, and then the listeners, that these well wishes are more meaningful than they've ever been. Because I have to only virtually be with people while I get treated. And last Friday, I had a PET scan. After you get treated, they go in and they see if the treatments have worked. And they tell you where you are in your treatment. And I had my follow-up appointment today, and I've had a couple of second opinions with radiology. And they have confirmed that I am in full and complete remission.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share that just like I shared the awful news with you in late April, and thank everybody who listens to the show and has been a part of my life in whichever way possible. You can beat this. And if you're diagnosed too, know that I'm always going to be there for you. And I understand there's still a long road ahead for me. There are appointments still, and there are more PET scans down the road. But for right now, this is as good of news as I ever could have hoped. And without brothers like you guys and the listeners helping me, guys, I wouldn't be sitting here telling you that news today.
Somebody's getting their drink on, and for good reason.
I'll tell you, that's the third time you've made me cry in 3 days. When I got your text, I just burst into tears. It's just, you know, proving a point that a big brother can look up to a little brother. And this is one of those cases. And I have just been amazed, absolutely amazed at the positive energy you've been cranking out.
Yeah.
Since your diagnosis. It's absolutely
the only choice
unreal,
you have,
man.
Mark, you know, it's the only choice.
But a lot of people would have just folded it up. A lot of people would have said, I'm not going to be on the air. I'm shutting it down. And if anybody, you know, just tuned in and had no idea, no one would have known. You've been on your game through this entire thing, and you've had great support, yeah. But the fact that you have a great family and you have so many great friends is a testament to you, the person you are.
Well, I've idolized you for years. You know that. I was a seventh grader who shadowed you. I interned for you. I had Waddle's jersey. We've been together and accomplished great things for 13 and a half years. I want to be young like Black and Abdallah again. And
well, that's
so,
not going to happen for any of us.
And my doctor thinks I'm an alcoholic, Dr. Saris, and everybody at Northwestern who's helped me. Just, I'm telling you, and I've told you during this journey the whole time, what these medical professionals do, from the receptionist to the nurses to the doctors to anybody in there cleaning up, what they do and risk their lives during the most uncertain time that we've ever had in this modern era is truly heroic. And those are the people that I owe everything to. So if you're someone who works in the healthcare industry, know how appreciative I am and how appreciative my family is.
Yeah, that's here. The best news of the week right there.
So it puts in perspective that the Cubs losing 2-0, me
definitely
will have a drink today. And again, Dr. Saris thinks I'm an alcoholic because every time he gives me good news, I say, can I drink some more now, Doc? Can I have 3 or 4? And he's like, you can have 2 or 3. I'm like, okay, 3. So, thank you, guys.
I'm here to pick up the slack for you when it comes to that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Tommy will be in the bullpen for that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. I mean, I'm here for you on a number of levels and a number of ways.
I'll be right behind
you. Certainly, that's one of the ways that I can pick up
slack. So, now you're going to get a victory Monday after Nick beats the Colts. You know?
Let's hope. We've got that energy flowing.
Okay, what's going to happen on the baseball show?
Baseball.
Yeah? And then what's the baseball show going to be about next week?
Bears.
Okay. Gotcha.
There you go. So Black and Abdallah coming up in 2 minutes. I've got the Bears losing this weekend. What do you guys have?
Both of you guys picked them to lose. And look at me, Mr. Mr. Hater, I got him winning.
Oh, good. I have the Bears losing 23-20. Listen, they're going to play a big boy defense this week and again on Thursday for the first time all
year. Bears win.
I need to see.
I hope you're right.
Haterade.
And thanks to Chicago Cut Steakhouse, David Flamin, Matty Moore are the absolute best. Patio remains open. The weather's supposed to be better next week. They roll out the red carpet for you. They do it the right way. Check them out today at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. For Abdallah.